great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Thank you all for coming together to represent our party at its best.
I am standing in the middle of 1984 civilization.
Let resistance equal progress.
Yeah, this kind of feels fascist to me, yet they're out here protesting fascism. They put it in their music videos. They hold up decapitated heads, plays in the New York Public Theater.
Are you trying to fight me? Yeah, trying to engage in political discourse with these people, and you've seen the responses time and time and time again. And this represents the strength, the courage, and the bravery that we can have freedom and prosperity.
Is this the calm before the storm, as President Trump recently hinted at?
You guys know what this represents?
Well,
maybe it's the calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
It could be the calm before the storm.
And according to defense sources, President Trump may visit the DMZ on the Korean border in early November when he visits South Korea.
In North Korea, our goal is denuclearization. We cannot allow this dictatorship to threaten our nation or our allies with unimaginable loss of life. We will do what we must do to prevent that from happening, and it will be done if necessary, believe me.
Former President Carter has now offered to intervene, according to South Korean newspaper Korea Jung-ang Daily. University of Georgia professor of public and international affairs Park Hon-sik told the South Korean paper, should former President Carter be able to visit North Korea, he would like to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and discuss a peace treaty between the United States and the North and a complete denuclearization of North Korea. Park said Carter wants to prevent a second Korean War. The threat of North Korea reaching U.S. territory after modernization of a ballistic missile with a range of 3,000 kilometers has the international community scratching its head. Reuters reports Interfax cited Anton Morozov, a lawmaker and member of the lower house of the Russian Parliament's International Affairs Committee. Morozov was quoted as saying, "There was no talk about the deadline for solving this task regarding the ballistic missile." Hawaii News Now reported University of Hawaii students recently received an email with the subject reading, "In the event of a nuclear attack." New York Daily News reports experts believe that the Hermit Kingdom has also made progress on miniaturizing a warhead that could fit onto an intercontinental ballistic missile, which could reach Hawaii in about 20 minutes. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis has alerted the military in case diplomacy fails.
What can the U.S. military do to lessen the likelihood of conflict on the Korean Peninsula?
Oh, what a great question. Let me talk about Korea for a minute because it's on all of our minds. And you know there's a reason that I recommended T.R. Fehrenbach's book, that we all pull it out and read it one more time. But ladies and gentlemen, it is right now a diplomatically led, economic sanctioned, buttressed effort to try to turn North Korea off this path. Now, what does the future hold? Neither you nor I can say. So there's one thing the U.S. Army can do, and that is you have got to be ready to ensure that we have military options that our president can employ if needed. We currently are in a diplomatically led effort. And how many times have you seen the UN Security Council vote unanimously, now twice in a row, to impose stronger sanctions on North Korea? And remember, the Security Council has countries like France and Russia, China, the United States. You know who's on there. And all voted unanimously on this. The international community has spoken, but that means the U.S. Army must stand ready.
So here we are, our troops yet again facing the fog of war, while spoiled, ungrateful, ball-chasing millionaire swine refuse to support those that represent their very survival. John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
Oh!
is the War Room.
Welcome in to the War Room. We've got a ton of news to cover today. We are live 3 to 6 p.m. Central. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. You can find us at warroom.show. You can find us on Twitter at warroomshow. We've got Roger Stone in the second hour as well as other guests. All kinds of video clips, all kinds of news, but in fact, so much of it that I have to be very efficient and very precise today. So let's go right into this. Now, first, let's go to clip 8, guys. Let's start with the Las Vegas massacre. Again, just more questions. They're going to have a big press conference tomorrow. My guess is tomorrow they lay out their official narrative, whatever they're going to go with. Obviously, it will be a lie, at least if they continue down the path that they've been going on. But here's a new video that's emerged that raises more questions. And again, you'd think they'd want to address something like this or at least review something like this if they were doing a real investigation, or at least to put people's minds at peace that are trying to figure out what's going on. If there are multiple shooters, these people are still out on the run in the public. So here's a strange clip of what is said to be a SWAT team, does not look like a SWAT team, going through the Tropicana moments after the Las Vegas massacre. So there's the quote-unquote SWAT team pointing guns at people inside the casino. They don't have matching uniforms on. They all have a different uniform. One of them's carrying an Israeli Tavlov gun, the guy in the yellow shirt that's pointing it at people. What is that about? Why do they all have different uniforms? Why are there two guys behind them carrying a suspicious briefcase and a walkie-talkie? And also, you can hear in this video audio of someone saying, the cops are here, we got to go, go, go. I can't say whether that's the people that are supposedly the SWAT team, but very interesting. Who are these people? What are they protecting? Why are they pointing guns at civilians, telling them to raise their hands? And why are they in the Tropicana mere moments after the Las Vegas massacre, when we now know that allegedly Stephen Paddock was firing at least 200 rounds outside of his hotel room 6 minutes before the shooting, and that the same security guard that was hit in the leg by one of those rounds alerted the cops to the shooter's location at that time. Why would an official SWAT team be at the Tropicana? I don't know. Again, a strange video. Now, this is actually from Sunday. This is what the police that supposedly went into the room, I'm assuming these are the police that went into the room, that's what they were saying, and this is what they claimed they saw when they got into the room.
An armory.
So many guns, so many magazines, stacks and stacks of magazines everywhere, just in suitcases, all neatly stacked.
In suitcases?
Against pillars that were in the room, all stacked up, rifles placed all
stacked up.
All kinds of monitors and electrical equipment he had in there.
Monitors? Electrical equipment?
Looked like almost a gun store.
Shell cases.
Oh, like a gun store. Just like what our guest yesterday told us, a former arms dealer.
We were tripping over guns, tripping over long guns inside. There were so many.
That many.
Yes.
My initial scan of coming in the room with my rifle.
Now, there's about to be a very interesting clip at the end of this when they talk about Stephen Paddock's face.
Kept going.
He said one male down, that was the shooter.
Yes.
Stephen Paddock. What were his wounds?
I didn't see any apparent wounds to his head, but I did see a lot of blood that had come out of his mouth.
Well, there was a bloody revolver, I think, nearby him that was on the ground, consistent with him shooting himself.
What else did you see?
Yeah, I saw a few phones, laptops, a couple of laptops he had in there, a lot of drills.
Yeah, and drill bits.
A lot of drills and drill bits, all kinds of tools.
This was eerie.
Very eerie. The dust from the explosive breach.
A lot of electrical equipment. They had phone lights. Chargers that didn't match any of the phones. Like that's very strange. There's been certain conspiracy theories going around about those phone chargers. But notice how he says, didn't notice any wounds to the head, but apparently he shot himself in the head, and then somehow miraculously they did an autopsy and examined his brain, and they couldn't find any clues of mental insanity in his brain. So he shot himself in the head. The police say they couldn't tell he shot himself in the head, and then they were able to examine the brain somehow for abnormalities. That whole thing is abnormal. Now, here's our own Darren McBreen that interviewed another eyewitness and survivor of the Las Vegas massacre.
Yeah, we have friends who are from Southern California that meet with them every once in a while for music shows, typically country shows, and we're there to go with them. And
at the beginning of the concert, I saw the footage where everybody sang God Bless America. They had their cell phones out, and it looked like a wonderful, unifying type of event. It gives me chills every time I see that footage. And it seemed like it started out as just a very tremendously good night. Everybody's having a wonderful time. Where were you when the shots rang out? What were you thinking? And then tell us what happened after that.
The lights came on and they sang God Bless America. That was Big and Rich. And they were doing a salute to the veterans and the first responders, which, you know, there's probably at least 20 or 30% of the crowd was veterans, active first responders, you know, and just phenomenal people in that crowd. It was just a beautiful cross-cut section of America out there, and just great people. And we were hanging out with friends. There was people all around us. We were at the barrier that divides the VIP section from the general admission side. We were just tired, and we were staying on the VIP side because it was closer to our seats. That was backed up against the fence that divided the musicians up against the barrier, watching the stage, watching the screens, and you hear the first couple of pops go off, and I hear people say, hey, it must be fireworks. Fireworks.
And now we've got like puzzle pieces being put together that there were actually perhaps fireworks fired off before this with an eyewitness account and a video we played yesterday.
And then he kept playing because he, you know, I don't think anybody knew what it was. And so he kept playing. Within 5-10 seconds later was when he stopped playing and ran off the stage. And at that point, you hear a long burst. And I saw a spark off the top of the screen where that was, you know, the screens that are on the two sides. On the right side screen, I see a spark come off of it. And then I look down and Jason Aldean is gone. I mean, he's running as fast as he can. And at that point, you realize this is real. I'm turning around looking at the direction of Mandalay Bay because you're starting to hear what sounds, and my first impression is, it's, and other people I've asked afterwards are that were on that side. You know, you hear different things on different sides because the echo and just the acoustics of the scenario. It sounded like a gang battle. It sounded like overlapping fire shooting. And there was fire, but the first fire that everybody heard that they're talking about in the distance, that was in a different spot. That's why nobody really, I mean, yes, the music was playing, but it sounded like it was farther away. As we make it under the stage, about halfway down the stage, the shooting stops. That was probably the 11th minute, 9th, 10th, 11th minute, whatever that was. Felt like an hour. We make it out to the other end, and we run away. And you start to hear people scream, there's a shooter on Luxor, there's a shooter on Mandalay, there's a shooter on Tropicana. Nobody knows. And nobody in that crowd would know where they are, because most people, they had no idea where the shots were coming from. The fact that the police weren't moving on anything tells me.
So another eyewitness account saying that there were multiple shooters. Now more questions are arising. What took the police so long to respond? Why are there other police units at other hotels? Why are there so many eyewitness accounts saying multiple shooters? Why does the official narrative keep changing? Why does none of the official narrative make sense? And it's all strange with other little strange coincidences, like every room that Paddock rented faced the direction you're supposed to pray to Allah and face Mecca. How about the fact that this whole thing happens at the foot of a pyramid at a harvest festival? So I don't know if we'll get the truth during the press conference tomorrow. I highly doubt it. I think that the Las Vegas Police Department is being scuttled in this investigation. I think the FBI is covering it up, and we'll probably never get the official truth. So there's more eerie ripples coming out of the story of Jesus Campos, the Las Vegas security guard that was shot, allegedly by Stephen Paddock, with over 200 rounds through the door of the hotel room. One struck him in the leg. First, you had them changing the timeline, saying that now he alerted security guards 6 minutes before the mass shooting began. Then you had this strange thing where there was no security detail on Paddock's house, at least that we know of. His home's just left there. And then someone breaks and enters into his home. And then all of a sudden they want to stage security there and it's a crime scene. But it wasn't before. Meanwhile, Campos, the security guard, had armed detail security at his home throughout this process. So that's a head scratcher. And then the new ripple is that Campos was not actually registered as a security guard in the state of Nevada. If you want to be a security guard in the state of Nevada, you have to be registered on the Nevada Private Investigators Licensing Board, and no, Jesus Campos was there. So again, that's weird. And then it's again, I'm sorry, I just look at all these weird things. His name being Jesus, he was supposed to be the hero of the whole thing. Is that just another weird ripple of this deal? Have I gone completely insane trying to cover this? But here's the thing. The FBI knows all of this. They have all the answers. And how much they're divulging to the Las Vegas police and how much they're not, I don't know. How much of this are they trying to put out there as like a bait and switch, or just to keep information close to the chest because they really think that this is the best way to perhaps apprehend any other accomplices? I don't know. But the whole thing stinks. And the beauty of it is they can't cover this up because we have so much video and eyewitness testimony from the actual event. And they can't cover this up because individual citizens are actually going out and doing research and discovering things like this. And folks, one of those front lines is Infowars.com. And we're possible because you fund us at Infowarsstore.com. And I'm sure that by now you've heard of the Brain Force special, 50% off, great special. That's going to be running out soon. The Caveman special, 50% off Caveman. That's probably going to run out soon, but we're still running both of those specials. Take advantage of those popular products, some of our most popular products. But now, we just started this new special with InfoWars Secret 12. This is a powerful B12 supplement, something that I use not every day, but on days where I need an extra boost of energy or perhaps I've got some soreness. Secret 12 is what I go with, and I've been using that actually right now. I'm going through some lower back pain, and the Secret 12 helps me get the energy to move around and walk about and just get to work. Honestly, these products are so powerful. Don't forget that you live in a toxic environment, folks. Your water, your air, it's all toxic. So we have the Alexa Pure Breeze. This is an air filter to filter your air. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Then we've got Alexa Pure Pro, a water filter. We know about all the poison that's in the water. They put some of it in there. They just put the fluoride in there. So that's a nice little thing for you. So you can just get that out with Alexa Pro Pure. And both of those are 20% off. Both of those are 20% off. Those are big savings on the Alexa Pure Breeze and the Alexa Pure Pro. And right now, an exclusive offer, if you are a listener of the War Room, we have an exclusive coupon offer, 10% off True Whey Protein with Pro 10. So we're going to be having these for our listeners here on the War Room, exclusive coupon codes. And right now, you can get 10% off True Whey Protein with the coupon code PRO10. That's 10% off True Whey Protein with coupon code PRO10. And we're going to continue to have these special coupon codes for our listeners of the War Room. So PRO10 gets you 10% off the whey protein. All right, now, you may have heard of the Awan brothers, and more details are coming out about this. Meanwhile, it's all about Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. New details are emerging now that the Awan brothers were doing work remotely from Pakistan. Are you kidding me? And you're worried about Trump, Russia, when you have Democrats hiring tech professionals that work in Pakistan. Here is a clip of Louis Gohmert asking why the Awan brothers are working from Pakistan.
It appears that there have been falsified vouchers that Awan and his family and associates have filed many times. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
So when Imran Awan and his associates acted as ghost employees, who did, where, they, as you were saying earlier, when they achieved the maximum amount that a house employee can make.
Oh, yeah, this is huge.
And you seem to indicate that's when...
Just pause it right there real quick. He's saying they were rigging the system because you can only pay them so much for IT work, so they would just hire a new Awan relative. And so they kept hiring new Awan relatives because they were beating and rigging the system. This is huge. Go back to Louis Gohmert.
Associate would pop up and would find themselves on the payroll, correct?
Correct.
And do we know for sure if some of those family and associates did not ever perform IT work for these offices?
Offices.
There are indications, for example, specifically the youngest Wasserman brother was Schultz. A full-time college student. He was only 20 years old. Imran Awan spends months out of every year in Pakistan. Abid was supposedly...
He spent at least 1 month a year in Pakistan.
He spent more like... I've seen records indicating that he spent like 3 to even more months per year in Pakistan.
Some years he would spend... More than 3 months in Pakistan.
He also, I have seen emails where he indicated that he was doing his job remotely from Pakistan.
So he had access and doing the job of providing security for house members from Pakistan? Seriously?
That's what he said.
I had not seen that anywhere. I was not aware of that. But Imran Awan himself said he was helping with... Well, he was doing the job for which he was being paid.
This is insane.
What amount was he being paid annually?
Over $160,000.
Over $160,000 annually, and some years more than 3 months doing it from
you know what?
Pakistan.
Let's not forget about Seth Rich, okay? Let's not forget about Seth Rich. Let's not forget about Sean Lucas. Let's not forget about Barrington Wisenant. I can't even think of all the names that have gone because of this thing. Now, here's just a little clip put together. Folks, they're crying that Trump is colluding with Russia. We literally caught them red-handed. Could have been colluding with Pakistan. Nobody talks about anything. Here's a drop-the-mic moment from Louis Gohmert.
If a background check of Imran Awan had been done, what... In your opinion, would have raised red flags that this person should not be allowed to work in this system?
Well, four women have now accused him of abusing them or doing violent threats, and those include his own stepmother.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the War Room. We're joined by Michael Zimmerman, and he's about to talk about his experience in Puerto Rico. But right now, first you had Rose McGowan going after Weinstein. Now on Twitter, she's going after Amazon and Jeff Bezos, basically accusing them of, well, ignoring sexual assault, saying that multiple reports were filed and Amazon ignored it. And actually, Rose McGowan was suspended from Twitter earlier today. There was a huge uproar. They had to reinstill her. Now she goes on Twitter, fires off at Amazon, fires off at Jeff Bezos. So more unwinding on the Harvey Weinstein thing. I think he thought he was going to pull a Polanski and fly to Europe. They said he was going to Europe, and then they said now he's actually in Arizona. So that whole deal is weird. I've got a weird take on what's happening with the Weinstein thing. We'll get to that in the next segment. But now, let's talk about Puerto Rico. I know, Michael, you went down to Houston for the hurricane. You've seen other kinds of stuff that you've covered for InfoWars.
Last year.
Yeah, you've been to Haiti, What was it like, you know, compared to everything else you saw, what you saw in Puerto Rico?
This was very different than these other disasters we've seen. Like in Houston, people really came together. They were helping each other. They weren't necessarily waiting on the government to help. People were getting in trucks and, you know, providing whatever aid they could. In Haiti, we had the issue of, we actually saw a guy die in Haiti who had traveled 7 days by motorcycle. And when he got to this hospital, he died about an hour later. So, because he was hacking the trees with a machete. Puerto Rico was very damaged, yes. And there's still issues with power in Puerto Rico, which will take months to recover, many months. But food is largely available. We were able to drive around, and you can see there in that shot that there's lots of cars on the freeways. You know, nice freeways, they're all open. As of today, over 80% of grocery stores are open, gas stations. So the help is there. The supplies are there. People just need to leave their homes and go get the supplies, because it will take time for FEMA and other groups to distribute this aid. But of course, they're quick to attack the president and say that he's doing nothing for Puerto Rico.
It's really sick the way they've attacked Trump on this deal.
So we've got this little 3-minute video report that kind of sums everything up, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
This is Michael Zimmerman reporting for InfoWars.com. On September 20th, Hurricane Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico. Now, 20 days later, the effects of the storm are still being felt by most of the island. This week, I traveled to Puerto Rico with Gary Haven and his wife Diane, who I had previously traveled with to Haiti to cover the damage after Hurricane Matthew.
We're off to Puerto Rico right now. We're picking up a group of missionaries that need to assess the situation. They're working with over 2,000 churches there. And incidentally, they're working for the White House. And so we should have a really interesting day going to the island of Vieques, which is kind of isolated. They say the airport's closed, but we're going there anyway. So we'll find out. So let's have a great adventure and see if we can do some good out there.
We traveled to San Juan, where we picked up a pastor that is working with a network of over 2,000 churches across Puerto Rico, and a former U.S. ambassador who led recovery efforts after the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. From San Juan, we flew to the remote island of Vieques, home to 9,000 people, in order to survey the damage and see where aid could best be used. What we saw in Vieques was similar to what we saw in the rest of Puerto Rico. There's lots of damage across the island, but residents, for the most part, have food and water. At this point, access to electricity is the main need, but not something that aid groups or individuals are able to help with. The mainstream media has spent the past 20 days attacking President Trump over his response to the disaster, blaming him for the current crisis on the island. But as InfoWars previously reported, the problem really lies with the distribution of aid across the island. Here's what Colonel Michael Valle, commander of the Federal Relief Effort in Puerto Rico, had to say. The aid is getting to Puerto Rico. The problem is distribution. The federal government has sent us a lot of help. Moving these supplies, in particular fuel, is the issue right now. It's the lack of drivers for the transport trucks, the 18-wheelers. Supplies we have. Trucks we have. However, only 20% of the drivers show up to work. As a Puerto Rican, what happens here for the people is personal to me. To say we are not provided all of the help and resources needed is just not true. Distribution is the key, and we're working day and night on it. This matches what we observed while in Puerto Rico. The containers of aid are backed up at the ports and not making it to the people. Here's what InfoWars contributor and Puerto Rican Ruben Obed had to say, who lives just 30 minutes from San Juan.
I'm going to be really honest with you, and this you might not hear in the mainstream media. Here in Puerto Rico, there has always been an issue with truckers. You know, they sometimes they paralyze the whole country because they want raises, because they want this and that. I don't know if that is what's going on, or maybe they're thinking, you know, let's put pressure and capitalize on this hurricane. That might be the case. I personally am a Trump supporter, and I know for a fact that Trump has sent the help.
In a series of tweets, President Trump said they want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on island doing a fantastic job. Despite the many issues with FEMA, as we see with every disaster, Trump was right. Puerto Rico depends upon the community coming together to distribute aid. While traveling around the island, we saw cars on all major freeways and stores open everywhere. Democrats will continue to blame Trump for the problems of Puerto Rico, but thousands of men and women in the National Guard, FEMA, and other government agencies will continue to work around the clock to help with recovery efforts in Puerto Rico. This has been Michael Zimmerman for InfoWars.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of different angles to this, Michael. You know, you've got the fact that they're trying to smear Trump over everything.
They're trying to say the only aid he provided was throwing some paper towels into a crowd, which the people were loving, by the way.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, you say, well, what's Trump doing? He's trying to have fun. This is supposed to be a tragic situation. Well, why can't people get joy out of tragedy? Why can't people have a moment of happiness when it all seems hopeless?
In Houston, he was taking selfies with people who were grinning ear to ear. Yeah. So,
well, you notice that it's not him. The only one in Puerto Rico that's crying about this is that nasty, the nasty mayor. Yeah.
Somehow she was able to get shirts made up.
Yeah, she's had multiple shirts
Help
made
us,
up.
Help us, we're dying.
Yeah, how do you get these shirts manufactured if your country's shut down?
Yeah, you've got no power. And power is an issue. So there's actually a website from the Puerto Rican government that shows the current status of everything on the island. And as of today, do we have that? Something like 80% of the grocery stores are open, but only about 16% of the island has power. That is, so 17% of the island has power, 86% of supermarkets, 79% of gas stations, 22% of cell phone antennas.
Well, and it was my understanding that the reason why the number for, you know, people without power is so high, because what they're trying to do is get, when they get the power, they're trying to get it to the hospitals, the nursing homes, the stores, the gas stations. So the power that they're getting first is first going to those things before it gets to the people. So that might be why that number for people without power is so high. But that's not how they report it in the media. They just say, oh, look at Trump. Now they're saying Trump's, he literally is responsible for genocide. You know that? Yeah. The mayor now said Trump is responsible for genocide.
Oh, of course. But also, the power company there in Puerto Rico was bankrupt 2 months ago, more than 2 months ago. This is an island that has been massively in debt. Trump has been saying, let's put together a package for them that helps to relieve this debt.
Which is an interesting
angle. So they can rebuild.
Which is an interesting angle. You know, Trump's a big guy about infrastructure. Maybe Trump gets a chance to prove what he can do with an infrastructure idea. He's going to get a lot of support in Puerto Rico. I don't know if that necessarily will turn into anything politically.
As long as people aren't following the fake news, I think a lot of people in Puerto Rico realize that there is a massive amount of aid. We were at the airport in San Juan the days we were there, and you would just see these Black Hawk helicopters flying in one after another. You know, every couple minutes you'd have one leaving, National Guard, loaded up with water, cases of water.
Oh my gosh, these racist Americans supplies. Going to help people. It's like, it's just so ridiculous. And this is what the news does. You know, the one point in that video, though, that was interesting to me as we're about to go to break is how Ruben Obed, our friend down there in Puerto Rico, who was speaking to you, was talking about how the truckers sometimes will, you know, not show up to work and cripple the economy. You want this is a learning. This is a lesson to be learned here. You want to know who really runs this country? Okay. Every NFL player can take a knee and go on strike, and this country will go on. If every trucker took a knee and didn't deliver the goods that they're supposed to be delivering, this country would be paralyzed immediately. You want to know who really runs this country? It's not football players, okay? It's hardworking Americans. Welcome back to the War Room. We are live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Central, Infowars.com/show, and warroom.show for all of our exclusive content. We're joined now for one more segment with Michael Zimmerman. I want to talk about Harvey Weinstein because I have a theory that I haven't heard anyone else say. So you've got this today from the Daily Mail. Trump's Justice Department moves on Harvey Weinstein, orders FBI to open probe over fears he will do a Polanski. That's what it looked like at first. And he was being... guys, I got an echo in my ear. This is impossible. All right, somebody see. Okay, thank you. And so they're looking into him. And then apparently justice and legal departments in Europe were looking into him. So then he's not going to Europe, even though it was reported he already left for Europe. Then he's in Arizona. Then you've got suicidal. Harvey Weinstein begs a stranger for a ride while trying to flee his daughter's home after calling 911 to say he might kill himself. Okay. Now, I'm going to hold off my opinion for 1 second because I want to mention this. Rose McGowan gets suspended from Twitter today because she's going hard against Weinstein, alleging a lot of things. She gets reinstated. Then she goes after Jeff Bezos and Amazon, saying they want a dirty Oscar and they're covering up for sexual predators. And in the biggest tweet, she says, Jeff Bezos, I'm calling on you to stop funding rapists, alleged pedophiles, and sexual harassers. I love Amazon, but there is rot in Hollywood. They're eating their own. It's all coming out. Now, here's my theory, Michael, and I want to hear your take on this. Harvey Weinstein, quote unquote, suicidal, is a cover to me. I think that we are reaching a point in Hollywood right now where it's all about to come out. All the pedophilia, all the sexual harassment, all the abuse, this just absolute satanic carnage that's been going on in Hollywood. And the powers that be that run it, that get power from it, and that use it to their advantage are afraid that they're about to go down and that Weinstein is going to cooperate with the FBI. Oh, nobody thought about that angle, did they? Hey, Harvey, you don't want to go to jail for raping all those girls? Why don't you tell us who's procuring the children? Why don't you tell us who's raping the children? Uh-oh. Now all of a sudden, Weinstein realizes he might be part of a larger operation. Maybe someone's got it out for him. Oh, well, conveniently, now he's suicidal. Oh. What do you think about that, Michael?
I see where this could go. They're reporting now that he's suicidal, so when they end up killing him...
Bingo.
That's where I thought you were going with it. So when they end up killing him, then it's like, well, he was suicidal.
Harvey Weinstein's dead.
He was accused of all these things.
Yep. Here's how it'll be. Harvey Weinstein goes with the FBI, maybe cooperating in investigation. Next day, Harvey Weinstein found dead hanging from rope.
He is the first domino.
Chris Cornell, a la a Chester Bennington. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he is either the first domino or a card in this house of cards that is Hollywood. And when that falls and all these women start coming forward, and men, as Terry
Crews.
That's
right, Terry Crews. Yep.
You know, this guy, 6'4".
Name names, Terry Crews. Name names.
Someone walked up to him at some small movie exec, grabs him by the crotch. Terry Crews, of all people.
Who's a massive dude. I mean, he's one of the biggest, strongest guys in Hollywood.
Yeah, short of, Vin Diesel and The Rock and some people like that.
But here's the thing that I think is the precedent that's going to be interesting to see what happens here. And I think this is why they would want to kill Harvey Weinstein, because you got Terry Crews talking about a powerful movie executive, but he won't name names. See, they don't want to name names yet because there's still that power control. There's still that fear that if you name the wrong person or say the wrong person, you're going to lose your job and all that stuff. So I think that, and then of course McGowan she just turns loose. She's like, you're all pedophiles, you're all raping people.
She knows she won't get work again.
Yeah, she's already done.
Said
so
in those
she's going
that
out.
Amazon has already canceled her show.
Yep.
Not happening now. The people who come out and speak out right now, and unless this gets pushed all the way through and blows everything wide open, the people who did speak out will never see work again in Hollywood.
Wait a second. I'm sorry, Michael. You're telling me that we have discovered sexual deviance in government, sexual deviance in Hollywood, sexual deviance in the Vatican?
It's the elite in general.
That's people in power.
Oh. Yeah, people in positions of power, they love this stuff. They love pedophilia. They love the fact that they can have power over others. So Weinstein, making a girl watch him shower, or, forcing a woman in a restaurant, his restaurant,
to watch him. Would you like a nice cup if I told you so?
This is what we've been talking about for years.
It is amazing.
It's all coming out. Bezos covering up, she is claiming that she told Bezos, and I would love for her to publish those emails.
And this is huge too. Let's not forget, folks, this is such a learnable, there's so many teachable moments here. Let's not forget what happened to Joe Paterno when they found out that apparently he had been told about the activities going down with Jerry Sandusky. Let's not forget what happened to Joe Paterno. They ruined his career. He lost his job. He lost all of his wins at the NCAA. Okay? So they all piled on him. Are you going to get the same thing to happen to Jeff Bezos? No, because the media is owned by Bezos.
Right. Same thing with these top-level actors, Ben Affleck and others. Now, I have a theory that I saw online about Weinstein and one of his victims that has not come forward, which I think sounds very credible. It'd be Jennifer Lawrence. She really became a star through his movies. Every award show Always pictured with him. Every award show she's done or won an award at, she's thanking him. I'd like to thank Harvey Weinstein. He's up there on stage with her. Apparently, he's on set of movies that she's doing with other production companies. He's hanging around on set. I think he has basically owned her for years now, since she started appearing in films.
She's a liberal mouthpiece.
And then here's an article from Kit Daniels today. There was the whole nude photo leak in 2014 of these celebrity nudes, which I hadn't thought of this before, but it makes a lot of sense that all these images came from one database. Instead of the private, you know, iCloud accounts of 100 plus celebrities being hacked, no, you only have to hack one account, and it's the guy who had all of these photos that all these actresses sent.
Well, here's the thing about that, and you could honestly either prove or disprove that theory really easily, and I don't want to go into leaked nude photos, so I'm not even going to be the one to try. But all you would really have to do is find out, because I remember that there were actually a few athletes. I can't remember who it was. I think Justin Verlander was one of them. There was actually a few athletes that were involved in those leaks too, with some of the models, with some of the women. So if you can find out if a certain leak all came from one database, then yes, that theory that this came from a casting couch all of a sudden has some ground. But again, I'm not going to be the one that goes investigating
even this. Without that article by Kit Daniels today on InfoWars, it is still curious that she's been seen with him throughout her career.
Yeah, and
she's
she
not
like,
speaking out.
She got like a whole like huge leak of nudes. Didn't she get like
she
one
was
of the worst?
One of the most affected in that leak, the most photos.
It's so weird.
And there was just an article they had up on screen a second ago about this actor from Glee in possession of child porn.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, I'll put that back up. The child porn actor. An actor from Glee admits to possessing child porn.
Mark Selling. I haven't seen this.
He's
one.
Reached
Thanks
a deal with the prosecution to plead guilty to possession of child pornography.
Wow. 50,000 images. See, this is what's crazy about this stuff. I think they're like going after the distributors of this or something, because let's not forget about Bill de Blasio's assistant, who also got caught with just like hundreds of thousands of bytes of child porn. Now they find this guy with 50,000. Who in the hell are these people?
These elite are passing around probably hard drives.
Oh my God.
They're full of it.
They're really,
and instead of going out on the internet and finding it, one of their buddies, their pedo buddies, probably that they rape children together, are probably passing around hard drives full of child porn.
How about this one? Go ahead and read that to our audience.
Lawmakers shocked to learn 70 plus children missing from Kansas foster care system.
70 kids gone.
We've seen this and reported on this for years too.
That's right.
Kids just disappear. We have the missing children in Haiti that the Clintons were trying to traffic out of there.
Laura Silsby. Yep. She just changed her name, gets away with it.
They end up in child porn. They end up being murdered. They end up being sold into sex slavery by these sick, sick elite.
What happened to Maddie McCann? You know, what happened to these people? The more I sit here and look at all the angles, the more it points to they're really actually going after these people. They're really going after the pedophiles. Think about it. This guy has 50,000 images. This guy's on the West Coast. They find de Blasio staffer. He's on the East Coast. He's got 50,000. These might be the distributors. They might be building a serious case trying to arrest these people. And now you got Rose McGowan saying there's pedophiles in Hollywood. Allegedly suicidal Harvey Weinstein all of a sudden. Woo! They are on the ropes.
These elite, especially the ones in Hollywood, probably know the people producing the child porn.
Oh,
I don't know that for sure.
They
could
be procuring these kids too.
Yeah, these are film producers. A lot of that stuff's probably coming out of California. We went to California earlier in the summer and did a whole report about human trafficking.
And then there was the big KLTV story about the hundreds of kids they found.
Exactly.
Some of them in cages. Yeah, this is all happening since the election of Donald Trump. I'm not allowed to believe in coincidence, folks. I think Trump, because he's not some sort of sexual deviant, is actually letting these people face some justice. Thank you, Michael Zimmerman. We'll be right back with more of The War Room.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone at InfoWars.com.
The hypocrisy of Hollywood is on full display as the Harvey Weinstein scandal continues to grow, as more victims continue to come forward, and as more clips of Hollywood stars continue to surface, showing them engaging in, well, shall we say, similar behavior. CNN calls Jimmy Kimmel America's conscience, and here's America's conscience enticing young girls into groping his crotch for a chance to be on television.
This game show is called Guess What's in My Pants. Now, I've stuffed something in my pants, and you're allowed to feel around on the outside of the pants. You have 10 seconds to then guess what is in my pants. You ready?
Set.
Go.
It looks like
you should use two hands. Two hands.
I thought it was like a Red Bull or something.
You think it's, is that your final answer? Wow. You're gonna make a fine wife. Before, haven't you?
He continues the skit with a variety of different fame whores who are all willing to humiliate themselves for a chance to be on television, which in Los Angeles come in an almost unlimited supply. One of which is so young looking that he's concerned that he may be breaking the law.
You've worked on a farm, haven't you? How old are you?
18.
Okay, good. You sure of that? Because Uncle Jimmy doesn't need to do time. It's not going to bite you.
Well, nothing unusual there, I guess. Just another late-night Hollywood talk show host who regularly uses his show to promote Hollywood propaganda and poison the minds of millions. Here's Ben Affleck, who's worked very closely with Harvey Weinstein over the course of his career on a variety of different films, and apparently he's learned quite a bit from him, because here he is groping and apparently sexually harassing this woman who's trying to interview him about one of his films.
Well, you usually show a lot more cleavage than this. What's the story? Why are you covering it up today?
Well, it's Sunday morning.
It's Sunday morning. That never stopped me before from getting the titties out. What are you trying to fool Sunday morning?
By the way, this is when he was dating Jennifer Lopez. This is how Hollywood people roll when they're in a relationship. No wonder Hollywood marriages never last. And then there's this guy, Ed Asner, who was on a show in the 1970s called The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was about a woman who decided not to get married and not have kids, but instead pursue her career. A show which was celebrated by all the liberals and the feminists as groundbreaking. And here he is on MSNBC yesterday talking about the Harvey Weinstein scandal and sexism in Hollywood when he started the interview off by saying this.
Ed Asner, wow, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you. And not even a kiss.
No, nothing, right?
Oh, my God.
Okay, this is totally bizarre. You're on the show talking about sexism in Hollywood, and here you're pestering the interviewer to give you a kiss? That wasn't the end of the weirdness. They went on to talk about the Harvey Weinstein scandal, and then he blamed President Trump for creating a climate in the country that enables people like him. And then when they wrapped up the interview, he said this.
Ed Asner, the book is The Grouchy Historian. Longtime fan. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Good luck with the book.
You still owe me a kiss.
Okay, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And with good reason, Mr.
No, 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 no. I'm not a job procurer.
Mm. Thank you.
What an absolute creep. This guy even looks like Harvey Weinstein. Look at that. He's got that same one squinty eye. Maybe they're just both possessed by similar demons. While there are more people denouncing Harvey Weinstein every day, from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama, not everybody is ready to write him off just yet. Lindsay Lohan, who is apparently not dead from a drug overdose, posted this video on her Instagram telling everybody to leave Harvey alone.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Hi, I'm in Dubai. I'm home. I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on.
It's not right what's going on, she says. To him, he's the victim here.
I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me. We've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong. So stand up.
That really is her. I know it sounds like she has an accent there, but that is Lindsay Lohan. Apparently she's just stuck in character, unable to differentiate fantasy from reality at this point. It gets so much more disgusting, I don't even like talking about it. Check my previous video yesterday to see Hollywood A-listers, including Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson, literally giving a standing ovation to convicted child rapist Roman Polanski, who was given an Oscar.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're in the War Room with Owen Scheuer. This is the expanded programming of Infowars.com, and we're very pleased by the audience reaction and the tremendous amount of fan mail we're starting to get. It really gives us an opportunity to lay out even more of the incisive investigative coverage that has really become the hallmark of InfoWars. See, we don't have a preordained conclusion for every major issue. We have principles
But we're interested in the facts, or as Alex Jones would say, we're interested in the truth. If you're not committed to the truth, what, of course, is the point? Speaking of the truth, a story by Gabriel Sherman, writing for the Vanity Fair magazine, has tongues wagging all across Washington and New York. Mr. Sherman has put forward a thesis that the Trump presidency is unraveling, that the president is increasingly angry, frustrated, and isolated, the implication being that he might even resign. Well, I've known Donald Trump for almost 40 years, just shy of it, and I can tell you definitively that he is not, above all, a quitter. There's zero chance that Donald Trump will walk away from the historic term that he has won in the White House. As for his frustration, however, as I told the Boston Globe only minutes ago, when you go to bed with dogs, pardon me, you wake up with fleas. The president has every right to be angry about the men and women that he has appointed to high and esteemed office, who then seem required, almost compelled, to go out in public and air their dirty laundry in public. Whether it was Rex Tillerson saying that when it came to the faux Charlottesville demonstration, and no Matt Lauer, pardon me, not Matt Lauer, no Anderson Cooper, you're wrong. The Charlottesville operation stinks of a false flag. I'm sure there were a few genuine white supremacists sprinkled through the crowd for the sake of credibility. That stunk of a Soros operation, a setup. Why would we possibly believe that Soros would do something like this? Well, the material published by Julian Assange at WikiLeaks showed definitively that they financed anti-Trump violence during the campaign and on the Trump campaign trail. If they would do it then, why would they not do it now? The point, of course, is that the president continues to be disserved by many of the men and women that he has appointed. On the other hand, if you appoint Gary Cohn from Goldman Sachs as your chief economic advisor, and Mr. Cohn is a liberal Democrat who is antithetical to everything Donald Trump stands for, if you appoint a globalist like Rex Tillerson, who essentially turned around and allowed Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State under George W. Bush, also the National Security Advisor, well, then you shouldn't be surprised when your appointees badmouth you in public. I guess Donald Trump is not a mainstream career politician, and perhaps he doesn't understand that there's an American tradition here, that if you work in the White House or in the administration, you owe your loyalty to the president and to that institution. If you have disagreements on policy, form, or anything else, you're entitled, in fact, I'd say you're required to voice them, but internally, inside the White House, not on the Sunday talk shows, not on the evening news. Yet we see again and again appointees like the new Homeland Security appointee, Kirsten, I'm going to mispronounce her last name, maybe we can pull it up, but this woman was the deputy to John Kelly, a virulent anti-Trumper, a major Jeb Bush donor, And now, of course, she holds an august position in the Trump administration. So if the president is frustrated, if the president's angry, if the president is unhappy, I would say it's probably because he is being disserved by the people that he has appointed. Kirstjen Nielsen, pardon me, is the woman I was referring to. Now, those veterans of the Trump campaign who told me that they sought to go to work at DHS told me that this woman is the hatchet woman from hell. She is a longtime neocon, comes off the staff of Florida Senator Connie Mack, long service to the Bush crime family. That book, by the way, out in paperback now. You can get it at Amazon or Books A Million, Barnes Noble, The Bush Crime Family by Roger Stone and St. John Hunt, outlines how the Bushes and their ilk have essentially brought our country to its knees, and their holy alliance, or I should say their unholy alliance with the Clintons is further exposed in the Clintons' war on women. What happened, Hillary? People read that book. That's what happened. The more they learned about Hillary Clinton, the less they liked her. In any event, there are some positive developments that I see out there. Very, very exciting news from South Carolina, where Pastor Mark Burns, an evangelical African-American pastor with a very substantial following, a major supporter of President Donald Trump, a personal friend of the president, is seriously considering a challenge to U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham in that state's Republican primary. Now, Graham was just elected in the most recent cycle. So the word is that Pastor Burns is thinking about a statewide office that comes up the same year as the governorship, maybe Secretary of State, maybe auditor, maybe controller, as a preparation for an all-out assault on Quisling turncoat Lindsey Graham. Now, I know Mark Burns. He is a patriot. He is one of the most articulate men it has ever been my privilege to meet. They have set up, I'm told, a nonprofit to assist him in his exploration of an all-out challenge to one of the worst rhinos in the U.S. Senate. Here's a trivia question. Which U.S. senator, currently a Republican, said he would become a Democrat if Donald Trump won? The answer is Lindsey Graham, which is why I hope Mark Burns takes the plunge. I'm Roger Stone. You're at the War Room. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and yes, you're in the right place. You're at the War Room here at InfoWars. We're going to take a couple callers. This has proved to be a very popular part of the show, taking a cue from Alex Jones. I'm still trying to learn broadcasting from the master. But let's start with Andy in Nebraska, who's on the line. Andy.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Roger. It's an incredible honor to speak to you. You inspired me to get involved with politics. I'm 16. And I first wanted to ask you, have you heard anything on what the president plans to do in regards to the bump stock situation?
I have not. I can tell you this, that Donald Trump is one of the very, very, very few individuals who carries a concealed carry permit in New York City. These are rarer than hen's teeth. They're extremely difficult to get. The New York liberal bureaucracy essentially takes years to process your application right up until the time that they forget about it entirely. Donald Trump is and has always been a staunch defender of the Second Amendment. And therefore, I can sleep at night knowing that any kind of gun legislation that might come across his desk will be held up next to the Constitution to determine whether it's good, solid public policy. But thank you very much for your call, and thank you for getting involved. You say you're 16. That's when I started working for Richard Milhouse Nixon, and the rest, of course, is history. Many thanks for your call. Let's go to the next caller, Chance in Alaska. Chance, lay it on us.
Hey, how are we doing? I'm actually not familiar with you, so I just wanted to say thank you for having me on your show, and let's just enjoy this first moment together. About the Las Vegas massacre, I've been calling it the Raven Party. This is just a nickname I'm giving it. You know, just a code name for the thing that I'm studying. I've been looking over these videos that have been posted on YouTube that are raw footage for a long time. And I've also been watching a show called American Vandal on Netflix. And there's a scene where they are tracking down all the footage from cell phones that they could find that were taken from one party. Okay. And they're trying to track down the events that took place in the party. I took those same tactics that I had just learned from the show that I had just finished watching about less than a month ago. And I took it, that plus everything I've learned from Detective Joe Kenda on Homicide Hunter, and I applied it all to this case trying to figure out the Las Vegas massacre. Okay, and this is what I found. Let's just pretend for a second that there was no shooter in the Mandalay Bay. Let's just forget about that being a factor right now. We're only talking about the dead people on the ground right now. We're only talking about ground level. Okay. There's a video of a girl who is looking towards the Mandalay Bay. Okay. So she's looking at Jason Aldean, and she's in the very back opposite corner from the Mandalay Bay. Single shots go out, okay, and they come from behind her. That's where the sniper shots are coming from. Then people are dropping. Commotion is now everybody's panicking, right, because people are dropping. And not only that, there are these sympathy actors everybody's been talking about, okay, and they are told to just create mass confusion and make them run, get them running so we can herd them. Then there's a video of a cop who is corrupt, I'm supposing, stands in the way of the only entrance exit out of that place that is like, it's an open area. Everywhere else is at least waist high. He comes and blocks and tells people, no, go east. Where is east? The airport, a dead end, field, nothing, darkness. People are not going to run that way. They're going to run towards the light. So then they run towards the light. Were three shooters, one who I'm thinking has an MP7 because he's got earmuffs on. Now, let me back this up real quick. As the single shots are going out, these two girls, they stand there for a second. One of them looks back at the camera, looks right where the shots came from at the people who are looking out into the crowd to see what's going to happen. Then she looks back. But then she breaks them. Before she looks all the way back at Jason Aldean again, she looks back towards them once more, okay? Now, if you guys have seen this on YouTube, you know what video I'm talking about. She then looks back towards Jason Aldean. Then the automatic firing goes off. Then she and her friend run straight back to the shooters, and they hide behind the guy with the loudest automatic weapon who is wearing earmuffs. And he's dressed like a staff member, and he has a blue shirt on. He's standing next to a guy with a white shirt on who I think has the Uzi, which is not as loud as the MP7. Then the single shot is the K9 shirt-wearing guy with a brown shirt. And it says K9, and then I think it says like event something. I can't read the part, but the big letters say K9 on his shirt, and it's a brown shirt. And he has a dog leash in the left hand, and what I'm guessing would probably be a single shot weapon in the right hand, because how is he going to shoot with both hands if he's holding a dog leash while all this is going on, right? So he's using his single shot sparingly. That's why you only hear it a few times in the beginning before this all happens. Then they are all ushered away then by that one cop, right? But then this guy runs up and the cop disappears within the same second, like within a split second of each other. The cop disappears, this guy with a brown shirt runs up, and then a guy runs up behind him. You can barely see him on the camera because the brown shirt is running in front of the camera while that other guy is behind that guy. And he puts, okay, remember that fence that they were carrying with that girl with, the red fence? They place that and block the exit. Then the guy in the brown shirt turns around and starts screaming and pointing, go east, go this way, don't go that way, which is the exit. Why not? People are telling him, let us out of here. He's not letting them. Go this way, go this way, go that way, yelling, commanding them at the top of his lungs. People are saying, fuck it, okay, I'll do it. So they go that way, and then they're ushered through past the people who are waiting from behind that car, where it's all well lit, okay? Where they're standing, it's all well lit behind them. And which is, it's fenced behind them, by the way. Then there's two sets of tents, right? And there's a corridor in between that leads back up to the stage, which hooks around into the front of the stage area, okay? They were ushered into that corridor area. Then those three men opened up fire on everybody from behind them and just ran them down, mowed them down all the way to the front of the stage. And the front of the stage area is well lit just in case any survivors come. The people who are waiting in the crowd area where everybody was supposed to be standing because the concert was still supposed to be going on at this time safely, they're standing there waiting to grab people who come out and say, go this way, go this way. They got people at least three times like that. You heard at least three sets of gunshots go out. That's why you heard three sets of gunshots. Now let's talk about the false flags. Let's talk about the term false flags. Where in the F did it come from, okay? Let's just talk about it, though. False flags. Everybody who didn't get shot right away, they were wearing flag shirts, okay? This is where the false flag comes in play.
I'm sorry that I'm going to have to cut you short there, but we are short on time. I do want to thank you for that excellent analysis. The citizen journalists, those who report in here at Infowars.com, are the ones who will get to the bottom of the Las Vegas story. I'm Roger Stone. We'll be right back.
If you want the future, you must fight for it. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, there you have it. Street Fighting Man. That could be Alex Jones's theme music. We're here at the War Room, and now I'm very proud to have a gentleman who I had on my syndicated radio show, The Stone Cold Truth, a number of months ago, Andrew Kerr with the Citizens Audit, maybe the country's foremost authority on the nefarious and, in my opinion, largely illegal activities of one David Brock. Now, if you are familiar with Mr. Brock, he wrote a terrific book called The Education of Hillary Rodham, in which he documented the fact that it was Hillary Clinton who hired the heavy-handed private detectives and the nasty lawyers to serial threaten the various women who were sexually assaulted and, yes, in some cases, raped by Bill Clinton. Brock was once a conservative. I guess he was once a mercenary, always a mercenary. But now he is gone to the dark side, representing a failed organization that spent millions of dollars to elect Hillary Clinton, mostly at the largesse of George Soros, and of course, as you know, failed. It's very, very hard to spend that kind of money and achieve almost nothing. Now, when I spoke
at Fordham University only days ago, I noticed that the small band of dissidents who were there to shout down the speakers and try to silence us were reading their questions from their cell phones. And almost all of these questions came from faulty, flawed, and in some cases, totally bogus research from, I kind of wondered, why can't these people write their own questions? Now, if you ask me, David Brock is the man at the intersection of treason, pedophilia, satanic ritual murder, perhaps harvesting of our children, election fraud, and charity fraud. I say allegedly, because unfortunately, he has not yet been dragged into a court of law. No one has done a better job of uncovering the outrageous and repugnant illegal activities of one David Brock than Andrew Kerr. Welcome to the War Room, Andrew.
Hi, Roger. Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So why don't you kind of had three different areas. I've been looking at some of your excellent work here. You filed an omnibus complaint with the Federal Election Committee, but I'm going to let you tell the tale. You've been focusing on David Brock and Media Matters now for several years, and you found a pattern that every American should find troubling. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just a little bit over a year. So I think I'll go crazy if I spend more than any more time digging into this guy. But so on Tuesday, I filed a Federal Election Commission's complaint against three of David Brock's organizations, American Bridge Super PAC, American Bridge 21st Century Super PAC, American Bridge 21st Century Foundation, a nonprofit organization, and Correct the Record Super PAC. Many may remember Correct the Record as funding the online trolls to shill for Hillary during the 2016 election. The complaint and the facts that support the complaint is unbelievably complicated. So I'm going to try to keep it high level. Essentially, what I found was that American Bridge 21st Century Super PAC appears to be abusing its cost-sharing relationship with American Bridge Foundation in order to funnel in donations through American Bridge 21st Century Foundation, the nonprofit, in the form of expense reimbursements. American Bridge Foundation has reimbursed over $11 million of expenses from 2011 through the end of June 2017, according to Federal Election Commission reports. Not $1 of that is considered as a contribution. They're all expense reimbursements for the purpose of staff and overhead expenses. The math shows that an estimated 92% of all of American Bridge Foundation's shared expenditures are for shared employees. Now, my website, the Citizens Audit that you were just showing on the screen, I have an explainer that goes in great depth into this cost-sharing relationship. And I show over the course of 12,000 words that beginning in 2011 through mid-2013, the arrangement makes sense. These expense reimbursements look like salary reimbursements. But then as we move into 2014 and then into 2015 and then all the way through 2017, things start to really break in the arrangement. There's some reporting errors when you look at the foundation's reporting versus the super PAC's reporting. I mean, we've got, just keep in mind that these expense reimbursements are for shared employees, for employee salaries. Exactly $190,000. The foundation paid the super PAC, followed by exactly $225,000, followed by exactly $49,000, followed by exactly $20,000, and then $110,000. And then there's a $315,000 check for shared employees. To me, that doesn't make any sense. Added to that, I found that in 2013 and 2015, the 2 years I was able to locate the foundation's reporting to the IRS that included their list of contributors, we can see the amount that was donated to the foundation, but not the identity of who donated. There's almost a dozen instances where donations to the foundation are exact matches to the expense reimbursements that it paid to the super PAC. That doesn't make sense. And that's really what we're calling out, what I'm calling out in the complaint that I filed on Tuesday. It doesn't appear that these are honest expense reimbursements that the foundation is paying the super PAC. So why would they engage in such a scheme? Well, the foundation that reports to the IRS is not required to disclose the identity of its donors. This is what a lot of people call dark money in politics, whereas the super PAC is required to disclose the identity of its donors. For instance, we can see that that George Soros has donated a couple $1 million to American Bridge Super PAC over the years. So say if somebody wants to support the cause but doesn't want their identity disclosed to the super PAC or to the public, what they can do under the scheme, it appears, is that, you know, just donate to the foundation and then they will just arbitrarily create expenses in the form of shared employees and then pass it through to the super PAC. I found this out because when I was looking at the foundation's reporting, we have their reporting from 2011 through 2015 through Form 990s. They filed to the IRS. In that time frame, the foundation paid almost $7 million in employee salaries to zero employees. Because they supposedly share the super PAC's employees. So that's pretty strange. That how do you pay almost $7 million to zero employees year after year after year? And so that's a quick rundown of what we're calling out with American Bridge. I've also filed, or one of the accounts in the complaint is against Correct the Record Super PAC. And this one is a lot more simple. In a WikiLeaks email dated late 2015, Correct the Record sent like a brag sheet to its donors. And it said that Correct the Record has sent emails to the larger Ready for Hillary list. Ready for Hillary was a now defunct super PAC as well, which has been consumed more than 400,000 times. Well, the only problem is that Correct the Record never made any payments towards Ready for Hillary. They didn't make any payments for or to rent or purchase that email list.
Andrew, I'm going to stop because this is crucial information. We're going to pick it up on the other side. People need to know about this criminal enterprise. So stay with us. You're on the War Room, and we'll be right back. Roger Stone, and we are midstream in a very important discussion with Andrew Kerr of Citizens Audit. Now, David Brock, the notorious former conservative, now ultra-liberal, or perhaps he was just always a mercenary, has not been seen publicly since his heart attack several months ago. Now, I can think of a number of people who would hope that he would succumb to this heart attack, but none more than George Soros, because Mr. Brock milked Mr. Soros for millions of dollars and spent them quite ineffectively. I don't know how you have this kind of financial advantage, the advantage plied by Brock and his confederates, and achieve absolutely nothing. Well, that's not totally true. They produce these bogus talking points that they recycle ad nauseum. Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, Roger Stone, Alex Jones, they're white supremacists. They're bigots. They're racists. They're anti-Semites. That's all bunk. It's nonsense, but you can find it in the David Brock handbook. And he takes a very healthy compensation for compiling this garbage. So let's go back to Andrew. Help us continue to break down exactly what Mr. Brock is up to.
Right. So I went pretty in depth in the last segment. So let me just let me pull myself out again and just put it this way, put it very simply. So for years, almost a decade, conservatives in the media have been talking about something needs to be done about David Brock, or something needs to be done about Media Matters. Why isn't anybody doing anything about Media Matters? Why isn't the government not looking into their activities? Well, here it is that I'm providing to you on a golden platter. The questions that I'm addressing in these complaint, in this complaint that I filed on Tuesday to the Federal Election Commission, are very serious and they deserve to be answered. It calls into question the cost-sharing relationship between Brock's organizations, most notably American Bridge 21st Century Super PAC and American Bridge 21st Century Foundation. As I discussed in the last segment, over 92%, an estimated 92% of American Bridge Foundation's shared expenditures, which exceeded $11 million from 2011 through June 2017, over 90% of those shared expenditures are for employee salaries. So the solution is very simple. Since the math makes it appear as if the foundation is overpaying what it truly owes to the Super PAC in the form of expense reimbursements, what the Federal Election Commission needs to do is review the employee timesheets that American Bridge Foundation told the IRS it keeps in order to ensure that neither organization is financially supporting the activities of the other. So American Bridge, which utilizes a shared pool of employees for both the Super PAC and the foundation, I'm asking the Federal Election Commission to review each and every employee timesheet for each and every single pay period at American Bridge from March 2011 through the end of June 2017. That's the only way to ensure that the expense reimbursements over $11 million are legitimate. Furthermore, since American Bridge Foundation states in its Form 1024, which was its request for nonprofit status, it filed to IRS in 2013, that its cost-sharing agreement is designed to ensure that neither organization, the foundation and the Super PAC, American Bridge, that is, are financially supporting the activities of the other. So their employee timesheets would also be used theoretically to calculate their other shared expenditures, such as office space and IT costs that they have told the press and the IRS throughout the years. Now, this is where it gets really exciting. From 2011 through June 2017, Federal Election Commission records for American Bridge Super PAC show that the Super PAC has paid Media Matters for America almost $500,000 in shared office space and employees. So an investigation into American Bridge and their cost-sharing agreement is inevitably going to lead to looking at Media Matters for America. So this complaint could be looked at as a door into Media Matters. Furthermore, since Media Matters is a nonprofit organization that reports to the IRS, the IRS is not actually required to respond to complaints. And I know that over the years, many people have tried to file complaints against Media Matters for appearing not to live up to a tax-deductible charity standard. However, American Bridge Super PAC reports to the Federal Election Commission. Now, I'm not just blowing hot air here. The Federal Election Commission is actually required to respond to the complaint that I sent them. They're required to acknowledge that they received it. They're required to send a copy to the respondents, which would be American Bridge 21st Century Super PAC, American Bridge Foundation, and correct the record, and allow them to have time to respond to the allegations. So David Brock and everybody in his network, they're going to see this complaint, and they must respond to the Federal Election Commission with their excuse why this shouldn't be taken seriously. But this is a really easy solution. American Bridge said they keep employee timesheets. This should take all of 5 minutes for them to go into the filing cabinet where their employee timesheets supposedly exist, give them to the Federal Election Commission to review their records to ensure that their expense reimbursements are legitimate. If they aren't, if American Bridge Foundation overpaid by any amount under this cost-sharing agreement, then that unpaid amount would be considered an unreported political contribution. If you give something of value to a super PAC, even though everybody talks about Citizens United and whatnot, but if you give something of value to a super PAC, it must be properly reported. Citizens United does not allow a nonprofit organization to mask contributions as expense reimbursements. That is not legal. If American Bridge comes out and says, "Oh, this is all legal under Citizens United," no. If they're overpaying under their cost sharing agreement, that's not legal. And that's what we're calling out in this complaint. So I see we only have a little bit more time. So we're under a bit of a time crunch here. The ball is in the Federal Election Commission's court. Most notably, there's five Federal Election Commissioners, and they're going to be holding a vote, either yes or no, whether to act on this complaint. And so I really need help from your viewers and from the media at large to help shine a light on the work that I've done. I'm just one guy trying to do my best. I put in a considerable amount of time, money, and effort into producing this complaint, mostly because I just think it's the right thing to do. So if you could help me either, show my donation button there, that would be very helpful. But also, I need people to help
Andrew,
me champion
tell us,
this.
Tell them the website address so we can be very clear here. Where can folks go who want to help this extraordinary citizens effort? You really undersell yourself. You're more than one man. You're like an army. I've been following this for a number of years. You've done an extraordinary job trying to bring this culprit to justice. And we want people to know where they can go to support your important work. So tell us again the exact web address.
So it's right up there, thecitizensaudit.com. You have to put in the "the." So thecitizensaudit.com. There you can find the complaint, and then you can find the explainer that goes into great detail. It's a very technical document. It has dozens of links to everything. All my research is based off of publicly available information. And it's really a shame that the Federal Election Commission and the IRS have completely missed this. It appears that this arrangement is set up so where the area in between where neither the Federal Election Commission or the IRS is looking, that's where all the issues are. And you're scrolling through it now. It's a very large document. So I could really
they're probably taking their investigative advice from Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Thank you very much for joining us, Andrew. And while you've got your checkbook out, let me ask you, go to the Infowars.com store, because we're not able to bring you incredible reports like the one you have just heard without your support. We don't have a George Soros standing in the wings like David Brock writing multi-million dollar checks. We have to depend completely and solely on you, on liberty-minded patriots and the info warriors out there who have learned over time that you can get the very best all-natural products, some of the best things on the market, and you can help the fight for freedom right here at InfoWars. You've got extraordinary sales now. My favorite, 50% off for Brain Force, 40% off for Survival Shield. You're not going to see these price reductions much longer, folks. Move while you can. Help us, help yourself. And I'm Roger Stone. Victory or death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the War Room. Final hour here. Follow us on Twitter at War Room Show for all of our content online, warroom.show. That is the website, warroom.show. And of course, as always, to support us, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, there's literally breaking details of the Las Vegas massacre happening, it seems like, in real time. And it's not coming from the FBI. Shocking, I know. First, this breaks yesterday. MGM Resorts disputes Las Vegas police timeline of shooting. So my first thought in reaction to this is this MGM covering their skin? Is this MGM sensing lawsuits and now trying to cover their tail? Why is MGM disputing the Las Vegas timeline? Or perhaps are there multiple cover-ups going on here? Could we have multiple cover-ups happening at the same time? I quote Deborah DeShong, a spokeswoman for MGM Resorts International, said, "We cannot be certain about the most recent timeline that has been communicated publicly, and we believe what is currently being expressed may not be accurate." Wow. Kind of spitting in the face of the official investigation there. And then Judge Napolitano said on Fox, I quote, So Mandalay Bay knew of the existence and presence and workability of the automatic weapon 6 minutes before he started killing people. That should have triggered an enormous response. Exactly. He then added his argument that lawyers could make to a jury if it gets to that point. Yeah, that would be an interesting point. All of this would be if it got to a jury. And perhaps that's why MGM is now trying to cover their skin against the official narrative. Then this was handed to me. I don't even know about this. I haven't even heard about this. New audio recording from inside Mandalay Bay during mass shooting. This is from KNXV. And it basically says that the original shots, or that the shots that came against the security guard, were either going on, I guess, during the time of the shooting or not at the exact time that were being given in the official police report. So we're going to have to review that and figure out exactly what's going on there. Police Assistant Sheriff Tom Roberts talking about the new timeline just coming to light. We can't just get a clear understanding of what time he called, and even at 59, that 1 minute till might be off. And this is in response to the development that Stephen Shuck, a Mandalay Bay maintenance engineer, also said that he called into the supervisors that a shooter had opened fire apparently 6 minutes before. So then, this is tweeted out by Laura Loomer, an official statement from MGM Resorts International today. Although we prefer not to comment on the details of the investigation, we are issuing this statement to correct some of the misinformation that has been reported. The 9:59 time was derived from a Mandalay Bay report manually created, I'm not sure what that means, after the fact, without the benefit of information we now have. We are now confident that the time stated in this report is not accurate. We know that shots were being fired at the festival at the same time as, or within 40 seconds after, the time Campos was first reported shots fired over the radio, which now they're not committing to a time on that. Metro officers were together with armed Mandalay Bay security officers in the building when Campos first reported the shots were fired over the radio. The police claim they got that radio response too. And then, of course, you have the details that Campos was never even registered as a security detail in Vegas or in Nevada. These Metro officers and armed Mandalay Bay security officers immediately responded to the 32nd floor. We will continue to work with law enforcement. We have from the first moments of this tragedy. But that doesn't make sense because they didn't immediately respond. It took an hour. Now, Lauren Southern has just revealed more information. Airbnb insider Stephen Paddock had rented three different homes in the Vegas area before the shooting and then apparently never even went but requested he be left alone. Okay, it just keeps getting weirder.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. Please follow us on YouTube and find all of our content at warroom.show. Plug in warroom.show to your web browser, and that's where you can find all of our content, including the live feed. Infowars.com/show to find all of Infowars' 10 hours of live broadcasting every day. And of course, you can support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm now joined by Fleckus Talks, a man a short time ago was made famous by confronting protesters. I believe it was at the airport was his first video. He had the famous spoon at the time, and people laughed at his spoon, but now they respect the spoon. And his name is Austin Fletcher. Fleckus Talks is the name of his YouTube channel. He's been featured on Fox News. And Fleckus, you go out, you confront these protesters, you continue to get more attention, more audience. So congratulations to you.
Owen, thank you. And thank you for everything that you've done. You're actually one of the inspirations and the reasons why I started doing this. I used to watch your videos and I was like, damn, that's pretty good. So here we are.
Well, it's funny. And I'll just use this as a point to other audience members out there. This is how we can change the world. This is how we change culture. I get inspired by Alex Jones. I go inspire someone else. Now Fleckus Talks is probably inspiring other young people as well. And this is how we light brush fires of liberty and truth in the hearts and minds of other Americans. But when we were talking the other day, you specifically, you seem to be really on board with bringing Jimmy Kimmel down. You've been tweeting, you got a massive viral tweet, and now everybody's picking it up. The video he did years ago, I don't know if he was doing the Man Show at the time or what it was, of him asking women to grope his genitals, essentially, even saying, put your mouth on it. You are trying to expose the total double standard in the liberal media, especially with Jimmy Kimmel now, who's apparently an avowed liberal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that has to be done because these liberals have become like, you know, liberal Hollywood and entertainers and even athletes have become the cornerstones of like the liberal media complex. So now that Trump's elected and he's putting his agenda into place, it's kind of on us to hold these people to the same standards that they require of us. You know, like I watched Jimmy Kimmel's show, The Man Show, when I was younger. I was probably 12 or 13 and I enjoyed it. Like I watched it. I didn't care. And I think that people change and people shouldn't be held, you know, shouldn't be responsible for their actions at a certain time when times were different, you know, certain things like that. But the left doesn't agree with that. The left has like these rules and you can never break them. And they're so politically correct and so moral that, you know, if you want to play that game, cool. Here's your favorite player with the same rules applied to him. What do you think of Jimmy Kimmel now? Is he still the moral compass of America?
Yeah, exactly. And you're seeing this with Harvey Weinstein. Obviously, the Clintons is the oldest one. Guys, give me a document cam on this. I literally wrote this down in my notes to bring this point up before we came on. Kimmel used to be funny and fun. I completely agree. The Man Show was funny. Yeah, it was offensive. It was politically incorrect. Probably, you know, maybe even offended some of the audience members. But that's, it's comedy. It's not supposed to be about censorship. It's not supposed to be about worrying about offending everybody. Jimmy Kimmel used to be funny. He's come so far. He's been so bastardized into the liberal paradigm. I don't know if that's because he just wants to be on the main networks or if he really believes this stuff now. But I completely agree. Jimmy Kimmel, I'm even laughing that's looking at that skit from years ago. I'm laughing. I'm like, this is actually, I mean, it's funny. Yeah, it's inappropriate, but it's funny. Humor is inappropriate sometimes. Now he's not even funny anymore. He can't even get a laugh out of me.
Exactly. And him and Adam Carolla started in the same place, basically. And we saw what happened. Adam Carolla went right. He went left. And, you know, the right isn't judgmental like this. They don't hold Adam Carolla, you know, hold him to this artificial standard and require him to denounce these things and not say this and yes, say that. We allow the individuals to be individuals. The left isn't doing that. So now it's like, you know, the left kind of made their own bed and Hollywood needs to come down. Trump got elected for this reason and it's a culture war. It needs to be a street fight. We need to punch them in the mouth because we're not going to get it done by kind of trying not to offend anybody and trying to let everyone do things as they've been doing them. The status quo needs to change.
I think that we're seeing massive victories on this front right now. The mainstream news is trying to portray an inaccurate picture like we're losing or they're gaining momentum. No, we're literally destroying them every step of the way. It's actually quite amazing how many victories we just keep winning. We're not sick of it yet. But it's strange, you know, you mentioned Kimmel and Carolla, how they went their separate ways. And I'm speaking for myself. I assume you're the same way. I'm not sitting here obsessing over Jimmy Kimmel. Like, oh my gosh, look at Kimmel. He made women grope him. Oh my gosh, he's such a bad guy. No, the point is we're trying to show the hypocrisy. We're trying to show the liberal double standards. I don't care that Jimmy Kimmel did some stunt years ago making women grope his genitalia. Again, it was funny. It was inappropriate, but it was humorous. Nobody was judging him. So we don't care. I'm not crying about the skit. The point is this is the guy the left, the social justice virtue signaling left, is lifting up as a hero. The guy doesn't care. Look at what he did in the past. That's the point.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we saw what he did with Trump. He held Trump to this presidential standard when they released the Billy Bush tape. And, you know, they were showing Trump to be not presidential at a time when Trump didn't really have to be presidential. I know Trump regrets saying those things, you know, as he should. But then he didn't hold Harvey Weinstein to those same standards. And he didn't come out and crush him the day that we heard about Harvey Weinstein. And then Jimmy Kimmel himself has some skeletons in his closet. So the hypocrisy was so blatant that I feel like I had to call it out. And it was really well received. I mean, Donald Trump Jr. retweeted it. A bunch of people retweeted it. Breitbart featured it in an article. And I'm just glad that that message got out there because no one's perfect. No one's past is perfect. But when the left tries to pretend they are and that they're the moral compass, that's where it gets tricky. And that's where we can't let it happen because then they'll think they're going to take over the culture. They're going to continue to win the culture war when realistically we're fighting back. And like, this is a, you know, a major victory for us.
Yeah. It's basically what Jerry Seinfeld said. You know, the left has killed comedy. Political correctness has killed comedy. I mean, people used to watch that, and the only negative response was, you know, people like my mother who would say, oh, Owen, don't watch that trash. Oh, you know, okay. But now they can't even be funny anymore because they don't want to offend anymore. They have to walk around on eggshells. It's really sad how the left has killed comedy, and we're just sitting here watch the collapse of the whole thing. And then so now people go to your channel where you just put a mic in some Trump protester's face, and they're so stupid that it's comical.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like trying to rebrand what comedy is.
No. Comedy is now reality. Like these people are literal, like, reality jokes. They're just living jokes.
Yeah. And I think also politics is going to replace a lot of entertainment because, like you said, there's people leaving in droves, like Netflix and Hulu and NFL, all these places, because it's not what it used to be. It's not entertaining anymore because everyone's so concerned. So at a certain point, it's like, let the left's culture die. Like, remember the left was complaining about there weren't enough black people in Dunkirk? That was one of their things. And it's like, you can't even make a movie without having to like check all these boxes. And are there enough trans people in it? How many people of color? Is there enough this, enough that? And it's becoming not historically accurate. So it's like, you know, you guys can't make any jokes anymore. And the only good shows on TV that I think are actually funny are shows like Rick and Morty. And that's a leftist show for sure. But the reason it's funny is because they're creating scenarios and creating like alternate universes and alternate realities because they can't really make jokes about anything else. Like they can't make fun of things. They can't
point
things up. They have to make up this whole alternate reality and then the humor's there. It's kind of interesting. It's like the last, you know, the last ditch effort from the left to maintain the comedy culture.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny to me, the only television show that seems to really still create original comedy, I do enjoy Rick and Morty, but even more to the point would be South Park, because they're not afraid to be politically incorrect. And even when they have humorous that has kind of a liberal leftist overtone, it's still funny. It's still creative and it still makes sense to me. But comedy is really dying. Some of these comics, especially on TV, they just don't want to offend anybody. They're always checking their shadow. It's sad what's happened to Jimmy Kimmel. But, you know, it's funny. We're about to go to break here. But Fleckus sent me that video. He was the first one to send me that video. He sent me a message just probably a few days ago. He said, help me make this go viral. Let's show who Jimmy Kimmel is. Let's show the fact the leftists are total double-standard hypocrites. And now here we are. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's covering it, folks. That's how you make a difference. Set your mind to something and then get it done. We'll be right back with another segment with Fleckus Talks. I was appreciating the lovely assortment of spoons that Fleck has had behind him. Obviously, that is his weapon of choice when he goes out on the streets. He puts the microphone on the spoon. You can see his vast array of spoons behind him. And I was just observing how pretty those spoons were. And then I noticed there was actually something right beneath there. That was a bottle of Brain Force. Boom! You want to know how myself and Fleckus are able to go out on the streets and destroy liberals? Really, with our brains tied behind our back, we don't even have to say anything. It's Brain Force. And right now, 50% off Brain Force at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of Brain Force before we sell out. But exclusively for listeners of the War Room, we're going to have a new exclusive coupon code offer. I don't know if we'll do it every week or every other week, but we're going to have a new exclusive coupon code offer here for listeners of the War Room every week. And right now, it is on whey protein, our true whey protein, with coupon code PRO10. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt my own live read because that might be the greatest meme ever created. President Trump taking his Brain Force and Hillary Clinton finally figuring out what happened. She forgot to take her Brain Force. A great work there by Darren McBreen. PRO10, though. PRO10, that's our exclusive coupon code right now for listeners of the War Room. If you're into fitness and lifting weights and playing sports and everything, you probably take a protein supplement when you're done, or perhaps some take it before. True Whey Protein at InfoWarsStore.com. I didn't realize that. It's already 25% off. So you can actually get a massive discount right now on True Whey Protein. It's already 25% off. And then with coupon code PRO10, you get an additional 10% off. That's 20 grams of our True Whey Protein per serving. And it's 10% off right now with coupon code PRO10, an exclusive offer for InfoWars War Room audience. All right, let's talk about upcoming Antifa rallies, because this is something that you have really dominated when you go out to these things. And they've got a big one scheduled for November 4th. And you think that this could be maybe a big, something big that they have planned on November 4th. Enlighten my audience on the rallies planned for November 4th.
Yeah, so I'm out here in L.A. You guys covered the people stopping traffic on the 101 saying November 4th, it's coming. They chained themselves together in, I think, Westwood, a couple towns over, doing the same thing. November 4th is coming. November 4th, it's coming. So it sounds like they're going to take it to the streets. And I've heard their goal is to make the country ungovernable and basically put, you know, create anarchy in the streets, which is kind of, you know, unsettling for sure. I'm going to be in a major city where they have the protest plan. It's not going to be L.A. And I'm going to be covering the event as well. I'll be doing a live stream and I'll also be putting a couple videos out right after. I'm not sure what their bigger plan is and how far they're going to take it. But from what I've heard, it sounds like, you know, violence and, you know, physical attacks are not off the table. So, you know, things are the political environment's getting a little murky, but you got to cover it and got to, you know, get these people on camera and show what they're really all about. Because once you put a mic in their face, they don't have much to say.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be running around with their faces covered up, trying to get away with violence and rioting, as we've seen in the past. You know, it's going to be interesting when November 4th comes around, because, I mean, are they really going to try to create anarchy? Are they really going to go that crazy? I mean, at some point, the police are going to have to do something. I mean, and I mean, I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not one that wants to see people arrested en masse. I'm not one that wants to see martial law. I'm not one that wants to see police having to beat up a bunch of anarchists in the street. But at the same time, I'm not about to let a bunch of commies, I'm not about to let a bunch of anti-American scum try to tear this country down.
Yeah, totally agree. They're literally commies. I'm not about martial law at all as well, but at the same time, I have no problem with lining these guys up by the hundreds, zip tying them and putting them on a bus and putting them away for more than just, you know, and that's like not like an equivalent of putting them in the drunk tank for a couple days or like overnight. I want these guys to be locked up for inciting riots and, you know, whatever they're really trying to do, overthrow the government. That's a big crime. Like, let's lock some people up who are the leaders of these groups for months and months and see if they continue to do it. When I was at Berkeley, the reason for the most recent event with Milo, the reason it didn't get too violent was because the police enforced the no mask rule and they didn't let anyone cover their face. So once you, take the group mentality away from these people and the anonymous mentality away, where everyone can kind of get found on Reddit when they find pictures of people doing crimes, then it kind of changes the game. So I think if they make that, you know, if they make that the case for the police, if they enforce a local no mask rule, I think you're not going to see as much of the violence and the much of the, you know, social damage as you would see otherwise.
Yeah, here's what I would do. I would order mass arrests of anyone you see violently protesting the police, doing any sort of damage, whether it be breaking windows or smashing things or anything like that, and anyone who has their faces covered. I would arrest them en masse immediately to stop any violence from happening. I would write them a citation. They can find some sort of citation to write up and then put them in front of the judge. And then here's what we need a judge to do, and this would end this whole thing immediately. Find out how many or which individuals in this group still live at home. Send them home to mommy. Give them house arrest. I'm serious. Put them on house arrest. Embarrass these people. Make them stay at home with mommy for a couple weeks on house arrest. And if they have found a way to get out of their home, then put them in jail. Let's see how much they like anarchy after a few nights in the slammer. My guess is they're not going to run around burning things with a mask over their face anymore.
Oh, that'll be it. Yeah, a lot of these people are, you know, all bark, no bite. They want to be involved in something that's bigger than themselves. They want to, you know, take part in the, you know, flushing out the Nazis in America as if they're, you know, some hero or some patriot. Realistically, they need to be reprimanded. They need to be locked up. This is not American, and they're literally communists. Like, this is something we've been dealing with for years, and it just kind of changed shape. And then now it's this. Now it's like this radical progressivism.
Well, and it's gone from this, like, kind of dormant, like, undertone hatred of America, like, oh, you know, like, yeah, we kind of hate America, to, like, it's bubbling over now. They say they hate America. They say they want America to die. There's no middle ground with these people. There is no agreement. You can't reach an agreement. This is anti-American scum. These people are domestic terrorists. If you're going to walk around saying you hate America, really, you don't expect an American to pop you in the mouth?
Yeah. 100%. And I think the reason these people were so easily radicalized is, I think, is something we're dealing with now on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I know you guys are dealing with it too. It's the echo chambers. I think when someone is in their echo chamber and all they're seeing is things that reaffirm their views, it becomes a lot harder to relate to people on the other side, and it dehumanizes the other side.
And that's why they can't answer any questions whenever we go on the streets and try to talk to them. That's why they can't answer any questions. All right, we got 30 seconds left with Fleckus. I want to end it on a bit of a funny note. You've got your spoons behind you. Are those the spoons that you take out on the scene with you? And do you have a name for each spoon?
I don't have a name for each spoon. These are some spoons I found in downtown LA and the local markets. But the ones I use are actually from my mom from growing up, like the actual spoon, and then from my grandma, my papa. I have her spoons, too, that my mom brought to me in California once this started taking off. So the spoons I use for the actual interviews have a little more sentimental value. These are my, you know, live streaming and video interview prop spoons.
You know, that's funny. That's Fleckus Talks on YouTube. If I was using my mom's wooden spoon, that was the same one that she used to discipline me. Funny, now I'm not riding.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We got two segments left. We are live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Central at warroom.show for all of Infowars live broadcasts, 10 hours of them. You can go to Infowars.com/show. And to support what we do here, we sell great products at Infowarsstore.com. Well, it's a funny thing, but in Brazil right now, they're having an outbreak of mumps. And I say it's a funny thing because guess what? In Brazil, they've all been vaccinated for mumps, yet it still outbreaks. It's funny how that works. I'm now joined by Rob Dew. This is something, vaccines that always sticks in your craw. He literally brought multiple inserts here today with multiple highlights. He was going crazy. I had to calm him down. I had to sedate him. He's so upset with this vaccine.
Can I just say I'm angry? I've had enough of these people.
You've had enough of these vaccines, huh?
Yep, exactly. So we have an article out of Syracuse, New York. A bunch of college students, this is where mumps is highly effective. It goes through and gets a lot of people in the college system.
Yeah, that's where it broke out in Brazil, was amongst that age group.
Right, exactly. So what they're finding is out of the people, so they have 14 cases now. It's jumped in 2 weeks. It's gone up to 14 cases. That's not a lot, but all of them had 100% vaccination coverage.
What?
Okay. Isn't that funny?
No, that's not. No. Vaccine science says you're lying.
I know. Here's a study. Mumps outbreak in a highly vaccinated university-affiliated setting before and after measles, mumps, rubella vaccination campaign. Iowa, July 2015 to May 2016.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the MMR is mandated to get into college.
And so they found, they did 4,700 doses, and 97% were documented third doses. So that's a pretty high population. 301 of these were got the mumps, were university students. And then, and out of those, 86% had two MMR doses, and 12% had three MMR doses.
So you're saying multiple vaccines three times, and they still were getting the mumps.
Right. Now, here's the thing about the mumps vaccine. This is what I like to do when people talk about
got the documents?
Vaccines. I like to pull out the document, the little inserts that they put in the mumps. It folds up into a nice little sheet. This is the MMR, all right, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Look at what it causes. Lymphadenopathy. You know what that is?
Mumps.
It's basically enlarged glands.
Oh, so mumps. So it causes mumps.
Okay. All right. So it literally causes the mumps. You know what else is a side effect of the mumps? Pancreatitis and deafness. Oh, right here. Guys, come down to the insert so we can see it right there. What causes it? Oh, pancreatitis. There's lymphadenopathy. And down here, nerve deafness. So literally, three of the symptoms of mumps are listed here as side effects of the mumps vaccine, in addition to measles, rash, and other things that they tell you.
Well, and it's my understanding, and I'm not a doctor, but it's my understanding with mumps, you know, at least now in the 21st century, if you catch it, you're pretty much going to be fine. They can deal with it. You'll have your swollen glands and maybe, you know, a little bit of, you know, dreariness or runny nose or something, but rarely are you going to have these serious impacts on with mumps nowadays.
Well, I'm here to bring you news from the late 80s. That's when I got the mumps. Mm. And I had been vaccinated with the MMR shot.
Shocking.
So I still got it. I think it was in the ninth or 10th grade. I got it. Remember, 2 weeks, basically 2 weeks off from school. It was great. and I'm fine. I've had four kids, so I didn't get the infertility, which they say is a complication of it. Or
You were managed to escape that side effect. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
You got the mumps, though, so you did get that side effect.
I did get that. And, you know, my kids have had the chicken pox. They all got that. Incidentally, they got it from, I'm going to out my father. My father got the shingles vaccine, and he had an outbreak of the shingles. And all my kids got chicken pox.
And then chicken pox is a different,
It's a strain of,
shingles. Well, that's what they eat. I mean, I got chicken pox I'm pretty sure my parents intentionally gave me chicken pox. They made me go and hang out with the neighbors that had chicken pox.
Right.
And everybody had chicken pox at the same time.
My sister got it, then my brother got it, and then I was rubbing up against them, and I got a really bad case. I had
Go play with your brothers and sisters. Yeah. Go, yes.
And so, of course, vaccines, that led me to other things that I've been seeing out there, because I try not to just focus on vaccines, but I can't help it. The propaganda right now is thick and heavy, and right now it's flu season, so we got to get our flu shots.
Yes, I've got a story right here, too.
And boy, let me tell you, now they have one specifically made for the elderly. Mm. Yes.
Because the elderly are the ones that really are scared of it, because they know it could possibly kill them, or at least that's
right. And I found an interesting commercial that we're going to play in a second. But first, this is a local news, ran this, verifies they're really mercury and flu vaccines. And they go, yep, each vial is trace amounts of mercury.
Now what?
25 micrograms, which is about the same amount. Oh, it's a 3-ounce can of tuna, according to the FDA.
They told you it was good for you.
I know. The Marisol does not cause autism, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. You know what they also said? Get a good look at that. They said it doesn't cause autism. But they also said this. Oh, I think this was back in 2005. They said this about mercury. Roll that clip.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Yeah, actually, immediately after that report, they read a report saying how a sledgehammer to the head was also good for you.
It could help improvement.
A sledgehammer to the head can be good.
It keep you docile.
For concentration.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Keep you from getting up and running around.
So you got stories. I had this story. I've been meaning to cover it.
Yeah.
From the Augusta Chronicle, U.S. not prepared for a flu pandemic. Experts warn, and that's what it's saying. It's like, oh, we're in the midst of a huge flu season. It's going to be an outbreak. We need to get more vaccines, more complicated vaccines, 3 vaccines a year. And so but that's what they do, Rob. They try to instill this fear into the population that you need the vaccine.
Exactly. And if you don't get it, you're going to die, or your baby's going to die.
Ooh, buy a Happy Meal, get a flu vaccine.
Because here's a good thing. And I love this. All these popular science talks about pregnant women getting it. Here's one from the Globe and Mail. Flu shot still recommended while pregnant. But as I read a flu story about a study that found the vaccine might be linked to an increase of miscarriages. And they go, oh, no, that was a flawed study. We're not sure about that study, because there was a study that came out that said between 2010 and 2012, women who got the flu vaccine were having increased miscarriages. So it's literally going in and eating the baby fetus. So what do I do again? I go back to the vaccine insert. Here it is. Oh, almost ripped this one. And this is actually for Fluzone, okay? Now, what does it say?
Is that a name of a shot?
It's the name of one of the flu shots.
Okay.
Now,
Fluzone.
Now, here we go to Section 8, okay. Section 8.1, pregnancy. Animal reproduction studies have not been conducted with Fluzone vaccine. I'll repeat that.
Oh.
Animal reproduction studies have not been conducted with the Fluzone vaccine. It is not known whether Fluzone vaccine can cause fetal harm when administered to a pregnant woman or can affect reproduction capacity. Fluzone should not be given to a pregnant woman only if clearly needed. They also don't know if it could.
But they also already told you you clearly need it.
But they sit there and tell you, you should keep getting the flu shot, okay? Pregnant women should get the flu shot. The answer, it wasn't surprising. Let's see what their answer is. Oh, here it is. It's on the next slide here. The benefits of vaccinations are enormous. Studies that flu shots can be safe in pregnancy, even though they haven't tested it to see if it causes real harm. They haven't done the tests on it, but they're telling pregnant women to get it now. That's the new marketing
angle. There's this elitism or this like beyond reproach thing that comes from the medical industry. And I'm certainly not trying to disrespect doctors or people that have put in the time and really know what they're doing and talking about surgeons and everything.
This has nothing to do with doctors.
No.
This is the pharmaceutical industry.
But at the same time, they've somehow managed to get the entire medical field behind them. I mean, rarely will you run into a doctor that's going to tell you the truth about vaccines.
It's all about the money.
And so, but that's what I'm saying. So there's this like weird, like double team effort where the pharmaceutical industry and the Western medicine industry just kind of stick their chest out. Like, don't tell me about a vaccine. I'm a doctor.
Exactly.
Don't tell me.
And I found an amazing commercial, which I think we're going to have to play when we get back from break.
Mm.
Are
you doubting my practice?
I think it's the most truthful flu vaccine we've ever seen. I know. There is a vaccine for people who doubt the government. It's coming. It's coming. Don't worry. We'll find that during the break,
But don't worry, guys. according to new reports coming out of Washington, D.C., most of the district is taking pills for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, John McCain. Those are the people on that list, folks.
Diabetes, we'll be right back. Everything.
Last segment of the War Room, other side.
Because I'm about to have my first ever flu shot, and I thought I couldn't get a better guy than you to do it.
One, two, three.
Oh!
At times like these, you might ask yourself, how did I get here?
Baseball, basketball, tennis, Jordan McFarlane is an avid athlete. But a week ago, something stopped him in his tracks. Thursday afternoon, he got his flu shots. By 10 o'clock Friday morning, he had chills and started feeling weak. And by 4 that afternoon, he was having spasms.
It's flu season. And at our age, flu can be more serious.
Oh, my God.
Nobody has time for that.
It would be dishonest to say that we know for sure the vaccine is going to be safe for everybody. You give a vaccine to a couple hundred million people, they're going to be problems.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Gates said we just need to vaccinate everyone till the population zero. Yeah. So
2011. Hours later, he went to sleep and has been predominantly asleep ever since.
Oh, he went to sleep after the flu shot.
Maybe you didn't know.
But these commercials work so well, honestly, as propaganda. Like, I can't even get my grandma to stop taking it. My grandma completely buys it. And she loves what we do here, but she's just like, oh, I got to get the flu shot.
Flu shots may not work as well for us. I love to sew and crochet. I can't do that now. I can't even read.
Just someone just destroyed by the flu shot. That makes me sick.
By shielding yourself with a flu shot at Rite Aid. One simple stop can protect you from this season's strains of flu.
Yeah, but they literally run promotions now at like Walmart and places where they try to buy this or get a Happy Meal, get a free flu shot. Yay!
Fluzone High Dose is a flu vaccine designed specifically for patients aged 65 and older. This vaccine helps older patients develop better immune responses.
Total of 23 deaths.
They admit they can't control the immune system.
29 through 180 post-vaccination. 16 among Fluzone High Dose recipients and 7 among Fluzone recipients.
And of course they get their own separate court of law so that they can't be held accountable when they kill people.
Flurad, designed for adults 65 and older.
Unlike you just talked over the part where it said it killed twice as many seniors as it did young people.
Sure, the numbers are pretty good. At best, about 60% of people who get the shot will dodge the flu. At worst, only 10% will be protected.
At worst.
How is that?
That helps at all, but I'll tell you, my wife.
That wouldn't work in any business model. Hey, period.
Hold on. What? Listen to this part right here. This is very important. This is what. Back it up. Back it up so we can hear Dr. Oz. Listen to what Dr. Oz says.
Who get the shot will dodge the flu. At worst, only 10% will be protected.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
If that helps at all. But I'll tell you, my wife is not getting immunized as our kids. Because I've got four of them. And when I go home, I'm not Dr. Oz. I'm Mr. Oz.
Get your flu shot.
So Mr. Oz doesn't vaccinate his kids.
That's like how the people at Apple don't
let their
kids use the products either.
Yeah, Mr. Oz doesn't do it.
We did a little funny video. We'll just roll this a little bit. John Bound, Leanne McAdoo went on the streets. Killer, the Prozac killer clown. Just roll this real quick. It was kind of funny. There's Leanne and John Bound.
Flu shot. Get your flu shot.
This is what real flu shot advertising should look like.
Get your flu shot today.
This is a classic. All right, we just wanted to throw that back in. All right, we're going to do a news blitz. We got 5 minutes left here, Rob. So
before we get to in Reuters it came out, there's an Oxford team. They want to test a universal flu vaccine. It's the world's first.
Universal.
Let's hope it doesn't end up like the bird flu vaccine trial in Poland, where they gave it to 350 homeless and poor people, and 21 of them died.
That's loving.
There you go.
Well, it's only 20. I mean, that's only 20 people, though. They don't care. They want to get their
vaccine. Out of 350. It's only 6%.
Yeah, and it doesn't
6%
matter.
6% death rate.
It doesn't matter if Fluzone kills, you know, how many was it? Was it hundreds of elderly people that took it?
It killed 21, 21? Or it killed 23 out of the ones they gave it to.
23. Yeah,
23.
23 people died because of the shot. But take it. It'll save your life. All right, we're going to do a quick news blitz here with Rob Dew to finish off the War Room for today. Boy Scouts will admit girls, allow them to earn Eagle Scout rank. So the liberals have now killed the Boy Scouts, Rob. How about that?
I'm an Eagle Scout, actually, and I totally disagree with this. There's Girl Scouts for a reason. There's Boy Scouts for a reason.
So what?
Let me tell you, you put girls and boys in tents together, you're going to get pregnant Girl Scouts. That's what you're going
to
get.
Whoa. First of all, we need to change it to Z Scouts. It should all be Z Scouts. Boys and girls are an offensive term nowadays. FEC eyes regulating apps, iPhone, Kindle, wearable technology. So what they're doing now, we knew about this, Rob, and they did this to Gab. They just removed Gab from the Google Play and the App Store. So they just remove you, and technically they're not censoring your content or anything.
Right.
Just nobody can find you.
You just can't, yeah. Nobody can download you into their systems.
So, it's interesting that the FEC would have anything to do with that. Hey, here's a story that nobody talked about. Police say student confesses to fatal shooting of Texas Tech cop. This student at Texas Tech went out and murdered a police officer. Of course, nobody wants to talk about that.
Didn't he bring the gun into the police station?
He turned himself in. He wanted to kill the cop. It was a whole message he wanted to send. And then the Texas Democrat Party had to apologize for tweet blaming campus carry law for Texas Tech shooting when they realized the guy was just frothing at the mouth to kill cops.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with carry.
No, in fact, if other people may have been around him with their own weapon, then they might have been able to do something about it. There's all these videos from the Vegas shooting where you can hear people saying, "Dang it, I wish I had my gun. Why didn't I bring my gun?"
Dan Blazarian ran to his car to get his gun.
Yeah, literally, it's the first thing that a lot of these people think. Why I'm raising my kids to be feminist. This is written by Justin Trudeau, who just graced the White House with his wife. This is how they show their true colors, though. It's just like the Texas professor that called this young black man a token black kid when I was trying to interview her. This is from Justin Trudeau. "It is maddening to me that my brilliant, compassionate daughter will grow up in a world where, despite everything she is as a person, there will be people who won't take her voice seriously, who will write her off simply because of her gender." This is them showing you how they think. This is them showing you how deep down they judge everyone by identity. They judge you by your skin color. They judge you by their gender. And then they cast that. They project that off onto everyone else. They don't understand. We don't care. Justin Trudeau, truly an honor. What a president for Canada. Just, you guys must be so proud of Trudeau. There's a funny one. Detroit firefighter fired for bringing watermelon to station.
I saw that. Everyone immediately got offended, and he put a bow on it. And apparently that's a custom when you come into the fire station. You bring a snack for everybody.
Who doesn't
like
watermelon?
Usually it's donuts.
But that's not stereotyping.
Well, that's firefighters. You would think it would be policemen. But usually it's donuts, but he brought a watermelon.
My tortoise likes to eat watermelon. Is my tortoise racist because my tortoise eats watermelon? Here was an interesting one. You had Terrell Pryor, an NFL player, say, "If you're going to call us the N-word, we're going to start acting like N-words. You can decide whatever that means." And then Gerald McCoy says, "It's going to be an uproar if players are forced to stand." Okay, so go ahead and destroy yourself even more.
Don't play.
I don't know why you want to do that.
Walk off the field.
But this is what's sad about it. and this is just one story. I've seen dozens of these now. KSU responds after cheerleaders kneel during anthem. So now I've got college students, you've got high school students doing this. But you know what this is? It's just hilarious, too. Everybody, please rise for the national anthem. And then a bunch of clowns take a knee. It's really embarrassing. But you know what I realized? This is like the most smug thing you can do. Like, liberals claim to be against, like, smug elite. Kneeling for the national anthem when everyone else stands up is you putting yourself above everyone else, you putting yourself above the anthem. You literally, this is the most smug, elitist thing you can do. The liberal elitism is a real thing.
What they're doing is admitting defeat, and that's what kneeling is. Oh. And also, what I think they should change, they should go, please kneel for the national anthem. Everybody
like
kneels.
South Park, yeah. And then they don't know what to do. They're like, right. Kneel? Should I kneel? Should I stand? What do I? Oh. And then their head explodes. Have you heard of this? Unlike any other, Obama's $500 million presidential library will be an empty shell. Get this, Rob. They just revealed the plans for the Obama Rec Center library. No books.
Oh.
It's not an actual library.
Who needs books?
You can go play basketball or jump rope or stuff like that, but there's no books. You can't read.
There's a Chris Rock joke in there somewhere.
So if you want to go to the Obama library and you say, hey, can I check out 1984? Hey, can I check out A Brave New World? Hey, can I check out Catcher in the Rye? Hey, can I check out, you know.
Well, they have to have space, too, to put all those classified documents that he doesn't want anybody else to see. All the unmasking.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it's all going. Yeah, it's all locked up in the library right now.
So they'll have plenty of room for that. But if you try to get a book there, you're going to be met with blank stares. They probably don't even know what a book is. Unemployment claims fall to lowest level in 43 years, despite hurricanes. So that's jabs, 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 jabs.
That's a lot.
What did you think about Steve Bannon saying Trump has a 30% chance of finishing his first term as president? What did you make of that?
I don't think he was being negative. I think he was saying everybody's out to get Trump.
Yeah, that's how I took
it. That's what I took it.
And I kind of took it as a military thing as well, like the military kind of is in charge of it. San Juan mayor accuses Trump of genocide after hurricane. This is the same mayor who has time to manufacture T-shirts, but not help her people. Oh, remember that glitch in Philadelphia that allowed immigrants to vote, illegal non-citizens to vote, non-citizens voting in the state of Pennsylvania, that mayor, I think it was the mayor, has now had to step down. So Trump was right again, non-citizens are voting. It's funny how Trump keeps being right, and we keep winning. Thank you, Rob Dew. Try to calm down after your vaccine.
Read the damn insert, people.
We'll be right back. Or no, we won't be right back. We'll be back tomorrow.